Welcome back to a post-vacation edition of Believe in 49ers, presented by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. I am your host, Tommy Call the Third, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tommy underscore III. That is triple I for the third. And you can also catch all of my written work about the 49ers via USA Today's Niners Wire. And if you're interested in more written work about the 49ers, you know where to go. All right, your boy just got back from Kauai to be specific. Incredibly beautiful, but man, I'm going to blame you guys, I'm going to blame you listeners out there, because no one told me how hard it is to travel with a kid who is sick. I have a one-year-old daughter, and I had a little sickness last week on the podcast, as some of you heard, and kind of passed it along to her, so she was dealing with a little bit of fever when we landed. Ended up being all right. We were able to have a couple good days, you know, good days in a row. But those first couple days, man, traveling with a youngster, it's rough. It's not easy out there. First time dad here. But anyways, Kauai, super beautiful, very tropical, very island vibes. Not really touristy Hawaii, I guess what I'm used to. Very tropical, islandy. Had some great beer. Shout out Kauai Brewing Company. Had some amazing coffee. Another shout out, Wishing Well Coffee. But I am, more importantly, happy to be back in the Bay Area and talk with you people about the San Francisco 49ers. Today on the podcast, we are going to play a little bit of catch-up and get into 49ers free agency. I am going to dish out a little report card. Maybe we'll call it a progress report, because free agency is not technically over. Obviously, there's still some good names available out there, which we are going to talk about today on the podcast. But a little progress report. That, even just saying the word progress report or report card, still kind of gives a little shiver down my spine. It doesn't feel good. Even when I'm in control here, it still doesn't feel good to say. But we're going to touch on all of that. And we're also going to talk a little bit of March Madness, Warriors playoff odds. Are they going to make it? Are they going to be the 10 seed? Or are they going to get bounced completely? But before we get there, a quick message from our friends at Bet Online. The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season, with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up into the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and you can even track your bracket real time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. All right, folks, let's get down to business. Let's say a week plus into free agency, the 49ers have really loaded up, multiple additions, a lot on defense, giving them a lot of flexibility to add on offense and the draft, whether that's wide receiver or offensive line. So let's talk about some of these moves and go up and down some of these additions and talk about some of the departures, specifically on the defensive line. Well, they replaced it, starting with Leonard Floyd, a guy we talked about on the first day of free agency, kind of, I would say, the 49ers' marquee addition in this round of free agency so far, you could say. I talked a lot about him, but incredibly consistent, a proven professional who can produce at the defensive line. I mean, I think when you think about the 49ers' edge rushing over these past few seasons, outside of Nick Bosa, there's been a lot of swing and misses. I mean, so many times it seems to be a priority to find a guy across from Nick Bosa, and it feels like Floyd might finally be the answer, because he is a little bit different in terms of proven. It's not necessarily a risk move. It's not necessarily a move that has a lot of upside. We know who Leonard Floyd is. This guy that can get to the quarterback and has done it for a long time in his career. Not super old, not winding down, had a very productive season last year for the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, no player like D Ford, if you want to say, Randy Gregory, Chase Young, has had, like, the production or just the overall decorated work, the decorated career of a Leonard Floyd. Let's not talk about him like he's some multi-time All-Pro or anything, but consistency is what the 49ers, I feel like, has extremely lacked across from Nick Bosa, because you don't know which one of these guys is going to show up. We didn't really get to see the full picture painted of Chase Young. Randy Gregory, obviously not a massive impact, had some moments, each of them, but not, you know, Clelin Ferrell didn't necessarily work out. Drake Jackson had dealt with some injuries after some, you know, good moments in his career. But Leonard Floyd, I think, kind of solidifies that other side and is going to bring consistent production. I mean, imagine a player on the 49ers, not named Nick Bosa, not named Eric Armstead, Javon Hargrave, a big-name player, come in and play on that defensive line and rack up 8-9 sacks. Imagine what that would look like, how much production that would gain to a player opposite of Nick Bosa. Well, Leonard Floyd has had 9 or more sacks in each of his last 4 seasons. I mean, that is major. I think that's why you sign a guy like this. I also think this helps refocus the defense a bit. A lot of these moves have helped refocus the defense a bit, where they're pressuring the edge, they're pressuring up the middle, and winning with Bosa, and hopefully Floyd, to kind of take some pressure off the back end of that defense, that back 7. Take some pressure off Mooney, Ward, Hufanga, who's going to be coming off injury. I think it kind of gets back to when the 49ers were a top-tier defense. They were very good on the defensive line. And I think this refocuses kind of that mission. So for Leonard Floyd, I'm going to give him a B. I think it's a solid grade. I'm happy with the C. But a B, I think, is very good for Leonard Floyd. A isn't going to be an elite difference maker signing. I think B is a place where this is going to be a solid, positive contributor. Moving on, another player that kind of signed early in the free agency window, who we've talked about a bit here, is Yetur Gross-Matos. A big body defensive end, 6'5", 265 pounds. He can play on the edge and get a little bit of pressure. Not necessarily your sack specialist by any means, but he also has some flexibility to rotate inside because of that size. He is a good run defender, and the flexibility, I think he's going to be a solid rotation piece, in my opinion. But that flexibility gives them something where he can work on the edge. He can shift inside in that wide 9. And with losing players like Eric Armstead, Chase Young, Clelin Ferrell, and more, Gross-Matos kind of helps open up some flexibility. And also, you know, these multiple additions on the edge, it was a position of need. And you saw that when they were acquiring Chase Young and going out and getting Randy Gregory and bringing in multiple players. They obviously didn't have a ton of trust with the guys they had at the edge position outside of Nick Bosa. And so going and getting guys like Floyd and Gross-Matos right away in the free agency period really shows that that was an obvious need. And this is not your super decorated edge rusher draft class. So it seems like they have a plan on how to fill some of the gaps on this team this offseason. And it started obviously at the edge position. They didn't stop with those two. They've brought in a couple guys on the defensive line. Before we move on to the next player, I'm going to give Gross-Matos a B as well, because I like the flexibility. I think obviously, let's just separate the two. We can give Floyd a B+. I'll bump his grade a little bit for the curve. But Gross-Matos, B, I think a very solid player, a solid addition. They did give him a nice little chunk of change, so we'll see how that works out. But I like the addition overall. And moving on to another, you know, rotational piece, actually maybe more than a rotational piece, is Jordan Elliott. He's been a starter with the Cleveland Browns for the last 2 seasons on a very productive defensive line under Jim Schwartz. You know, like we mentioned earlier, with so many departures on the defensive line, like Armstead, Javon Kinlaw, who I didn't even mention earlier, who signed with the New York Jets, they needed bodies, and Elliott is more than able, and I think this guy's going to play, and probably a lot, because he can do a little bit of everything. I think I'm going to give him a grade of a B as well for that signing. Now a player that I'm actually really excited to talk about is Malik Collins, proven veteran. As of right now, to me, this kind of screams out as the Eric Armstead, quote, replacement, the guy that you're kind of filling that gap with. I don't want to, link him as that replacement, because that's not fair to either of these guys, because Armstead was obviously such a massive impact for this team. Feels kind of cheap to call him the replacement, but a contributor, a solid contributor, a three technique, can play multiple positions inside if needed. He's also strong and moves really well, got some quick feet, quick hands. He loves that spin move. I think he's very consistent. And one of the things I really like about Malik Collins, has been extremely available over his career. Only missed a handful of games in an 8-season career. I like him. I think he's really solid. I think he's really liked him when he was on the Cowboys. Obviously watching a lot of Dallas Cowboys. He always stood out to me on a really solid defensive line, playing next to DeMarcus Lawrence and guys like that. I think he's very versatile in Dallas, on a good defensive line. I like the move. I think it was a very good move. He should have some familiarity with the system on defense coming from D'Amico Ryans and the Texans, and should slide in rather smoothly. I think he's a good complement to Javon Hargrave, a player he's probably going to play a lot next to. I like both of these defensive tackles additions with Jordan Elliott and Malik Collins, and you can even kind of lump Gross Matos in there because of his size and the ability to play a little bit inside. It was a tough, I don't want to say impossible task, but a really, really difficult task to replace a guy like Eric Armstead, right? His impact, his production on the field, impact in the locker room, things like that. But let's just talk about production on the field. That is a really difficult task. You don't just replace guys like Eric Armstead. The talent disparity is not there, especially with what the 49ers are paying these guys, right? But just in a vacuum, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, Gross Matos, I think that's just like a head nod. Like, yes, this is trending in the right direction. That hole does not feel as big now. I think they've solidified some things on the interior. It wouldn't surprise me, obviously, if they draft another versatile defensive tackle in the draft, whether that be in the later rounds on day two or potentially day three, to obviously kind of get in the mix here and build for future seasons. But Malik Collins really liked that trade, especially giving up very minimal in terms of draft capital. So I'm going to give that a grade of an A. One of my actually kind of like underrated moves. I think during the middle of the season, we're going to be talking about Malik Collins just being very consistent and solid. Another signing the 49ers added during free agency on the defense is Devondre Campbell. Most 49er fans are probably familiar with his game to an extent, watching the Green Bay Packers, played in this league, been a starter. He gives them flexibility with Dre Greenlaw dealing with that injury. Obviously, with whatever happened with Eric Kendricks and going to the Dallas Cowboys, this might have been, you know, another option at linebacker, a not a very strong linebacker draft as well here coming up. So going and getting a veteran that can contribute day one if Dre Greenlaw is not ready to roll, and obviously I think the 49ers, for a player as talented as Dre Greenlaw, are going to be patient with him and give him as much time needed. I mean, it's going to be probably a 6-7 month long recovery that could put him towards October with this injury. And Campbell, you know, he has dealt with injuries in his career, not great in coverage specifically, but, you know, he's a competent linebacker who can help this team while Greenlaw is down. And once Greenlaw returns, he can kind of shift to a more limited role, potentially like a two down backer type of thing. And that gives also some flexibility behind Fred Warner, a guy who's a proven can lead a defense on the inside as well. I'm going to give this a grade of a C so far. So we got a couple A's, a couple of B pluses, and now our first C on the report card slash progress report, excuse me. Moving on to another defensive addition for the San Francisco 49ers in free agency here on the Believe Podcast Network's 49ers free agency progress report card, whatever you want to call it, this edition of the podcast, is Isaac Yiadom. Sorry, I'm totally butchering that last name. I actually even looked it up on YouTube to see how other people were pronouncing his name, and don't crush me on that. But additionally, I know it sounds like I'm liking a lot of these moves. I do like this move because of the upside. I mean, I think this is where a 1 year deal at corner. This guy was initially a third round draft pick out of Boston College in 2018 by the Denver Broncos. Played there for, I think, two seasons, and then really bounced around the league a bit before having a very solid year with the Saints last year. He posted a career-best 81.1 overall grade on Pro Football Focus and had an 80.4 coverage grade with PFF, one interception, only two penalties, and 11 pass breakups. He has good size, can play outside, and allow Lenore to stick inside, which I think is very valuable for the 49ers. And if he can play at a similar level to like he did last year, if he can replicate that to an extent, I think the 49ers really struck gold here with this signing. I think this is a very underrated signing with the former corner with the New Orleans Saints. Sorry, he played with the Saints last season where he kind of had his little breakout. Kind of giving him another chance to prove that he can play at this type of level. I think it was a surprise that he walked out the door in New Orleans, and the 49ers, after kind of having such a solid campaign with them last year. So for the 49ers to kind of get him in Santa Clara, I think is a win. And yeah, it just gives them some flexibility and really doesn't put so much pressure on Lenore to play on the outside and have some guys that can kind of, you know, he has good size and can play on the outside of the front, the back seven. I really like this signing so far, so I'm going to give that one a B+. Moving on to the first kind of, I don't know if we're flipping the report card or how we're necessarily going to do this, but our first offensive signing we're going to discuss on the podcast, and really our last. There's been so many defensive additions for the San Francisco 49ers so far in free agency. Offense has been a little quiet, but Josh Dobbs. I mentioned Dobbs as a target when we started previewing free agency, and I honestly didn't really think the 49ers would have the chance to sign him because he had some good moments last year, obviously had some lows, bounced around the league, was on, I think, three different teams during the season. 49er fans got to see him in Santa Clara when he had a pretty solid performance against the 49ers, leading the Cardinals, obviously a rough Cardinals team, and then went on to play for the Minnesota Vikings last year and start and win them some kind of important games down the stretch with Kirk Cousins injured. I think he is a competent backup, high effort guy that can give the 49ers a bit of a different look behind Brock Purdy. I don't want to say ultra athletic, because I think Brock Purdy has proven he is pretty mobile and athletic himself. I think he's on a similar quarterback tier as a Sam Darnold. While Sam Darnold was a solid backup, I think so is Josh Dobbs. For the fact that Darnold would go out there and get, like, you know, a chance to compete for a starting job again, I don't want to say it's surprising. I think that's relatively expected, but I thought Josh Dobbs would get that opportunity as well. So that's why I'm a little surprised the 49ers were able to land him. I think he is a solid backup behind Purdy, and I don't know if you guys follow his, like, story on social media. He seems like a rather charismatic guy. I watched a video he posted about how he signed with the 49ers. It was pretty interesting. And kind of just the process of flying up here to the Bay Area from, I believe he's in Texas or something like that. Again, I thought he had some nice moments. And more importantly, over the last couple seasons in Santa Clara, we have seen how important backup quarterbacks are, and with the luck they've had at the quarterback position, I think it had to be a priority to bring in a player. It couldn't just be Brandon Allen. It had to be somebody, or they couldn't just draft a guy to kind of put right behind Brock Purdy. While I still think they'll probably look at quarterbacks in the draft, I think it's always a smart idea for every single team, no matter who your quarterback is, no matter how young your quarterback is to look into drafting a guy, even if that comes late or whatever the case may be. I think it's just a smart football operation style move. So I think the 49ers obviously will look into that again this year. I think they should. But I think Josh Dobbs is a very solid signing for a backup quarterback, especially for the 49ers, because I think he probably could have gone out there and competed for a starting job somewhere. Yeah, I thought that was a nice signing, so I'm going to give that actually a grade A. And the 49ers have also made some other moves, re-signed a lot of guys, John Feliciano, Chris Conley, potentially missing some guys, but outside of some of the major, I don't know if I want to call it major free agent signings that we just talked about, they also signed Chase Lucas, a cornerback, Brandon Parker, an offensive tackle, former high pick of the Raiders, Ezekiel Turner, a linebacker for the Cardinals, who I actually really like. I think he's a good special teams player, can probably play a little bit on defense as well. Watched him a lot in college at Washington. Go Dogs. I think he was number 47 for the Cardinals, and whenever the 49ers would play him, especially watching like the tape back for writing stories or talking about this podcast, it seemed like that number 47 always kind of popped on the screen when he was on there. It seemed like he was always kind of involved with making a play. So I actually like that signing as kind of an underrated, maybe special teams, maybe a guy that's going to come in and compete for a spot in camp. I like that signing. I think he could have a moment or two next season if he makes the team. Raymond Johnson III, another defensive lineman. Overall, I think I'm going to give the 49ers free agency on March 24th as we record this podcast a B. I don't think, like, why I didn't give it an A, I don't think there's a massive room for improvement. I like where they headed. It seems like there's a clear plan with how they're going to attack the offseason with the draft. Specifically, it wouldn't surprise me if they looked offensive line early in the draft, potentially wide receiver with whatever happens with Brandon Ayuk. Or I think maybe in the later rounds, second day two, day three rounds, you're looking at another tight end to kind of compete with some of the young guys they drafted last year with Braden Willis and Cam Latu. I think those could be some options they look for in the draft with how they've added so much defensively in free agency. But outside of what I think they can improve on, I mean, I would like to see them bring in some competition on the offensive line, veteran competition outside of John Feliciano, Colt McKivitz. I would like to see some action in the secondary. There is just so many talented secondary players left on the market. If you look at like the best free agents available currently, a lot of kind of familiar names specifically at safety pop up that I think the 49ers on a one-year deal kind of thing, veteran minimum, cheaper contract, wouldn't mind bringing one of these guys in if they will sign for that and try and compete for a Super Bowl. I think still think there are some 49 some available like interesting players that the 49ers could look at. I do think tight end behind George Kittle is something the 49ers should keep in mind, just because George Kittle's been banged up, getting a little bit older. Also super productive, not a slight against George, obviously, but we don't know what these two rookies are behind him. And I just think Brock Purdy plays so well when George Kittle's involved and their tight end game is kind of rolling. It seems like that is such a good safety blanket for him. And if Kittle is banged up, it's just not as big of a factor. So kind of developing a guy behind him would be important, or necessarily even bringing in a Logan Thomas or something like that to actually kind of be out there in two tight end sets. But some names that are currently out there in the free agent world as we record this podcast are guys like Broncos safety Justin Simmons. Made a lot of plays there with the Broncos, played in Vic Fangio's system, very talented, very high IQ player with the Broncos. He is still available, probably one of your top players currently still available. He's going to go and compete and contribute, I think, right away. Seahawks safety Quandre Diggs. Obviously, 49er fans have seen him make a lot of plays. I think he's a very solid defender. Dolphins corner Xavien Howard. I was asked by a friend, by another media member, about Xavien Howard. Like, is he washed? Is he done? I think for so long, Xavien Howard played at like a top 5, top 10 cornerback level. And more realistically, he's probably like a top 32 corner now. A competent player. Still very, very good ball skills. Absolute the definition of a ball hawk. Going to get you multiple interceptions. It just seems like he is a magnet for errant throws. But maybe lost a step or two, has dealt with a lot of injuries over the years, has the reports are out there that he's, you know, willing to kind of take a pay cut to go play with a contender. I think he's a player the 49ers absolutely should give a call or see how his market kind of pans out over the next couple weeks here. I think he is a player that isn't going to lose you games by any means, but maybe not as strong as he once was, but still has enough in the tank to make multiple plays. I think he's going to be a very positive signing wherever he lands. Bills corner Trey White is also still available, who was waived to start free agency. I know they loaded up on defensive line, but former Falcons, former Cardinals defensive tackle Calais Campbell is still out there. I don't know if that's just name recognition and kind of star power, or just a guy that I personally have a lot of respect for in Calais Campbell. I still think he has some juice. I think he had 6.5 sacks last year with the Falcons. He would be freed up playing next to Javon Hargrave, Nick Bosa. I don't know. It would be interesting to see what Calais Campbell looks like in a 49ers uniform, kind of really competing, going for a Super Bowl in however many years he's played in the NFL. As pass catchers, offensive side of the football, Tyler Boyd, former Bengals wide receiver, he is still available. Like I mentioned earlier, Logan Thomas, former Commanders tight end, he is out there. And then on the offensive line, it is a dried up, quiet market, especially at the tackle position, for guys that come in and compete. Dalton Risner, Cam Fleming, former Vikings Broncos guard Dalton Risner, who kind of came in halfway through the season and played pretty well for the Vikings, definitely I think deserves a crack somewhere. I think he could, you know, those are the type of players that they could bring in potentially as a, you know, somebody to compete. Could be a rotational player. We will see how this offensive line, because I don't think the 49ers are done at offensive line. I don't think they bring back. I don't think they just leave this offensive line how it currently is. I don't think it's your starting offensive line week one. And maybe it is, but I still think they'll bring in some competition. But that is going to do it for our free agency report card. Got an overall grade of a B, which I think is very solid, very I would be happy about that, and I also think it's kind of adequate to where the 49ers currently stand. Dished out some names of some players that we could see sign here over the next couple weeks. But going forward, Believe in 49ers is now officially on Brandon Ayuk watch, and we're also prepping for the draft. But before we get out the door, you can always hit me on Twitter if you want to talk some ball, got a draft prospect, or a free agent you want me to talk about. Or if you want to talk hoops and the Golden State Warriors, rough. I'm the managing editor for USA Today's Warriors Wire. And I want to know, to my Believe in 49er fans, Believe in 49er listeners out there, do you guys think the Warriors will make the playoffs? I mean, or I guess I should say the play-in tournament? As of recording this podcast, they're only one game up on the Houston Rockets, who are absolutely streaking. I believe they've won 8 in a row for the number 10 seed in the West. The Warriors are coming off a loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves, a game where they again had a lead early, played in crunch time. I believe they have 41 current crunch time games within 5 points with 5 minutes to play this season. It has been a Groundhog's Day type of season for the Warriors. They go up early and just can't seem to close late. Obviously, the Minnesota Timberwolves are incredibly tough, number 3 seed in the Western Conference, really dominant at home, only a handful of losses at home all season, so it wasn't going to take the Warriors' best shot to take out the Timberwolves at home. But I don't know, starting to get nervous. 12 games to go, 5-game road swings, things are getting awfully uncomfortable with the Golden State Warriors and their chances of securing a spot in the play-in tournament. But speaking of tournament, how is your guys' brackets? I was kind of bummed I was out of town for the start of March Madness when the brackets were initially released, and I wanted to kind of do a little March Madness. I'm a huge college basketball fan personally. I run a yearly bracket challenge where we get about, you know, 80 to 90 people in it every year. This is dating back from when I was in high school. So if you want to next year, you know, please let me know. You know where to find me. But anyways, I think this year currently, I think it's 85 people currently in the bracket challenge, I'm ranked like 75th. Just absolutely brutal. Got hit hard on Thursday. Really hard. One of those ones, don't even want to check your phone type of thing after you play some action, having some fun, kicking back, watching March Madness. And making matters worse, I am a Kentucky basketball fan. My grandfather was born and raised there. It is like religion in Kentucky to root for the Wildcats and Blue Blue Nation. It holds a very special place in my heart. But right now, man, it is rough. It is embarrassing. I am absolutely ready to see John Calipari leave Lexington. One tournament win in 4 years is absolutely unacceptable at Kentucky, and I'm still very frustrated. It's hard to even talk about because, in my opinion, I would say March Madness is the best sporting event of the year. I mean, that first Thursday and Friday, I always had a tradition. If I had good grades, my dad would let me skip school while he took the day off of work, and we would watch March Madness all Thursday, all Friday, and ever since then, we've always, you know, watched games together, whether unless I was out of town in Vegas or something, watching it there. And you know, he came over Thursday this past week, and it was just, it's a bummer to have your favorite team and be like such a diehard and so into it, where it's hard to watch the other games. And it's like getting eliminated in the first round, especially in upset fashion, where they're showing the highlight over and over again. It is just, it's brutal. But March Madness, absolutely special time of the year. One of my personal favorites. Hope you guys' brackets out there are looking better than mine, unless you're like a Tennessee or a Duke fan. That's gross. I hope you're down in the slums with me at the bottom of the bracket challenges. But good luck. Would love to see what you guys' Sweet 16s look like. Hit me up on Twitter. You know where to find me. But that's going to do it for us here on Believe in 49ers. Really fun episode. Great to be back talking with you folks here on Believe in 49ers. Thank you to our sponsor, Bet Online. And most importantly, thank you for listening to Believe in 49ers, presented by Bet Online.